this week to talk a little bit about last week's sermon. Remember, last week we talked about how it is that we understand what the messages are that we receive from the world. We were told not just to believe, this is in the book of 1 John, but we were told to test. And in this information age we live in, we need to test the messages that come to us. That test was what? The scripture says, any spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is from God, is worthy of being listened to. Anyone that doesn't is not. And so, yes, wonderful words that we had for that test. But this church member said to me, well, how do we do that? You know, what do we do? And we talked a little bit more about the state of affairs in our country. We expressed a concern that many of us express to each other, and that, of course, we've heard from others, you know, disaster and division seem to be the way of our country. We'll put a picture up here, and this is just one of them. You know, Kenosha, Wisconsin, you have the riots, you have the burned out cars, you have the National Guard being set in. I mean, this is one of those things where you feel, man, this is in our very backyard, in our country here, and we're having to bring the military. I mean, it's just, and this is one of the things that's been going on, right? And so as we were talking, she said, well, who do we listen to? You know, what do we do? Well, we both realized as we talked that nowhere in the Bible does it say you should listen only to Fox News, or you should listen only to CNN, or don't listen to any music except guitar music based upon the Psalms, and no YouTube, only GodTube. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't. But the Bible has given us the test. And that test can be summarized in Jesus' kingdom now. Jesus is alive. He's building his kingdom. And that is the most important news. It's the good news. So what do we do, though, when we're faced with this? I'm going to put another image here. When we're faced, this is our question for today. What do we do when faced with this urgent confusion? And that's what I call this. There's this urgent confusion in our country at this time. You know, you've got the pandemic, you've got this very divided country with, you know, what's going on, and then we have all the riots, and, oh, what do we do with all this? Many of these voices border on hysteria. So do we just run away? Ah! Do we get overwhelmed? Conspiracy going on here, and we've got to figure out this conspiracy. We're going to talk about that more later. Or do we just do the cocooning thing, you know? Become a turtle, get in your shell, and just stay there until it all passes away. Do we do that? Well, no. What do we do? What should be our attitude and our posture toward this? How do we do this? Well, thank the Lord. He's given us a way to do it. And we're going to look at the scripture today. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through the first part of 14. God will give us the answer. God will give us the answer. When you find that passage in your Bible, look at the first word, and we'll just look at the first word to begin with. What is the first word of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10? In my Bible, it's the word finally. Finally. When you get to a finally, you know that, okay, we're wrapping up whatever the whole message was. Finally. Let me summarize for you, and I'm going to give you an important statement that I want to make sure you get, right? The Holy Spirit, God, through the Apostle Paul, wanted to make sure that we got this, that we, as we thought about everything that's written in the book of Ephesians, that we keep this in mind. What is it that he has told us in the book of Ephesians? Well, Kelly just went to the book of Ephesians in our Sunday school class, and what a wonderful book, what a wonderful letter, as is the scripture. But in this book, chapters 1 through 3, Paul lays out for us all the wonderful things that God has done for us, who we are because of Christ, everything that we have. Chapter 4, if you look there, the first statement in chapter 4 is, walk worthy, which means live in a way, live who you are, live worthy of who you are. Same thing at chapter 5, verse 1, he says what? Be imitators of God. Imitate God. Then halfway through chapter 5, we have this instruction. Therefore, be careful how you walk. That's live. Not as unwise men, but wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. And that's a foreshadowing of what we're going to talk about now. And then right after that, he says what? Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. This is how you live. He addresses wives. Wives, this is what you're supposed to do because of who you are. Husbands, this is what you do because of who you are. Parents, children, slaves, that is employees, masters, employers. All so after all has been said, he wants to make sure that we have this perspective in the world that we live, in the practical living of everyday life. And what is it that he tells us? I'm going to read the passage, and there's this overarching statement that comes through. And I want us to listen for that statement, all right? Listen for that statement. So here it is. Chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, be strong. Against the power forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, stand firm. And we'll stop right there, because then he goes on to talk about the armor. What's that overarching message? It's two words. There it is. Stand firm. All right, that's it. Stand firm. The overarching message is here. Look, based upon who you are, based upon how you're supposed to live, one thing I want you to remember is I want you to remember to stand firm. And he's going to tell us why. First thing he does is to tell us to stand firm. Now, there are other passages in the Bible, in the New Testament, that say the same thing. In fact, in the book of 1 Peter. Peter, once he starts getting practical, says the same thing. He says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith. Again, he says, stand firm. And both these passages are talking about this conflict, about this opposition, right? Before we get to that, though, Paul, right at the beginning of our text, back in 6:10, says, you have God's provision, God's power. That's why you can stand firm. He says, you are strong. Be strong. Be strong. Power. It's an awesome thing. And we come into this room and there's power outlets, electrical outlets. And they have so many volts. If you've ever stuck your finger in there, you know what it's like. If you want real power in your house, go over to the dryer. Now, if you stick your finger in there, you might not live. Don't do that. Or go to the AC. All right? Last few days, we've had some rain. And we've seen some discharging of power there. Now, that is power. What's it called? Lightning. Yes, and lightning, because I'm kind of a geek when it comes to science, 10 billion watts in one thousandth of a second. That's a lot of power there. Wow, power. But that pales in comparison to the sun. We get 384.6 septillion watts per second from the sun. Well, we don't, but the sun puts that out. But that's nothing compared to some other things that happen in God's creation, like the colliding of black holes. Supposedly, because we haven't been there to actually measure it, 100 billion trillion times the power of the sun. And there are, who knows how many of those, happening in the universe. And God takes care of those. He controls them. He's got the ultimate power. And I say all this just so that we understand the God who controls all of creation has said to us, I give you my power. It's not just power. Remember Paul says, in the his mighty power is what he's saying. How does he say it? He says, be strong in what? The strength of his might. That's what he's talking about. We have God's power in this world. We can be strong because we're given the awesome strength of God. All right, so he wants to make sure, before he gets into it, that we understand this. You and I, have the power of God. And then he engages in verse 11. He then says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, when you hear armor, what is going to happen? Do you put on armor when you go take a shower? No. What do you put armor on for? Because you're going to be fighting. You're going to be going to war. And so here we go. He's pulling us now into this theme here of warfare. Remember, you have God's awesome, mighty power, and you're going to need it because you're going into warfare. He says here, put on the armor of God. Now, this armor that he tells us to put on, does it come when you buy a brand new Bible? Do they have their little armor pack that comes there? Because you're going to need it. Do we have that? No, we don't get the armor pack. Is he talking about pieces of metal and leather? Well, no, we know he's not doing that. What does he talk about later on? He talks about information. He gives us information. And we're not going to get into that today, but he gives us that, okay? So we need to have that in mind. He's not talking about physical strength. Has God provided physical strength to people in the past? Specifically, there's one person I'm thinking about in the Old Testament who was very, very strong. Samson. Okay, so God provided strength for him, but it was his undoing, wasn't it? Because he used it wrongly. And so here God is providing us a source of power, but that source of power comes through the Word of God, right? We're talking about, he's telling us here, I'm going to give you things that you need to know. I'm going to give you things that you need to think about. I'm going to give you these things so that you know what's going on. The Word of God, we need to know that. So, God's provision here is going to come to us, and I guess we could come to the next one here. Did it die? Okay. The second one, God's provision here in this passage is the knowledge of the enemy, all right? That's God's provision, all right? So we've been given the strength, we are given the armor of God, and all this is so that we can engage in this that's going to be happening where we live, which is the enemy. And we see that there. We're told who we're battling, right? Who is it that we're battling here? Yes, and the devil's a scary person, isn't it? He certainly is. He is the opposition that we're going to face. And when you hear that, Satan, you're going to be engaging with Satan. Yes, it's a scary thing. But we need to know this. Why do you think then he said, look, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might? Because he knows what we're going to be facing. Why does he say, I'm going to give you armor? Because he knows what we're going to be facing. Why does he do this at the end, after all has been said? Why does he do that? This is important for us to know, folks. We will be facing the enemy. We will. The devil is not sitting around sipping Tabasco sauce by the lava pool. He's not doing that. He's planning, he's conniving, he's strategizing, he's putting in effect tactics. And these are meant to destroy you and me. He has you and me in his sights, and he's pulling that trigger over and over again. And that trigger is not putting bullets in us or bombs in us. What does the enemy use? So we'll talk about that in just a bit. First of all, we know it's Satan. I'm getting ahead of myself. The second thing we know is that Satan is not alone. Verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the worldly forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly place." If it were just one, rulers, and that's the word archons, this is evil, would be plenty. But he doesn't just use one. He doesn't just use two, because the second one would be, okay, I want to emphasize this. He doesn't just use two. He uses not just three world forces of this darkness. He actually uses four terms. He adds, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Satan has a whole force behind him. And the Lord and the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, wants us to know this is important. Now, does he give us any kind of other information concerning these? No, he doesn't. We know that in other places in the Scripture, we read about these same kind of forces. We know that Jesus Christ has disarmed them. We know that Jesus Christ and God created them. We know all these things. But he's telling us here, look, you're going to face the schemes of Satan, and he's not alone. There's forces behind that. Okay? How do we engage in this battle? Well, we stand firm. One more thing we need to know about the who, and that is that we struggle not against flesh and blood. It's not people. Wow. So as we're thinking about this urgent confusion that's happening in our day, right? We go back to that. We're not battling a certain presidential candidate, are we? No, that's not it. That's not the very source of what we're battling. No. Are we battling a certain political group? No, we're not battling that. That's not the source. Are we even battling terrorist groups? That's not the source. A philosophical agenda? No, that's not the source. It's not sourced here in this physical world. And we need to know that. God tells us everywhere else that people are being duped and blinded by the one who is the source here. That's the enemy. He says it very clearly. Satan blinds the eyes of those who don't follow the message of God, the light of the gospel, his word, which brings understanding. And so we're not battling people. Satan has his schemes and he has his forces. And we do battle against them. So, what is it that we're battling then? We know who. He tells us now what it is that we're battling. And what is it that we're battling? Well, if we go back into the Scriptures, it says to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Ah, the schemes of the devil. What do we know about how Satan does things? What is his one trademark way of doing things? What does he do? He deceives. That's right. The Lord tells us that he's called the father of lies. Not because he has a bunch of little lie kids going around there. No, but because he is the source. He's the one. What happened in the garden from the very beginning? What did Satan do? Seeds of doubt because of lies, deception and confusion. That's what he does. That's what he does. He is the source and the most expert user of lies. That's what he does. Now, let me talk to you about this. Satan uses information, right? Lies are information. Our day has been called what? An information age. So don't you think it's important that we understand what's going on here? Our world is filled more today than before with the means that play into the hands of the enemy. We're an information society, And that's what Satan uses to accomplish his schemes. Do you not understand that? It hit me. Again, it hit me as you gave me the privilege to study this. Just think about it. Much of the confusion and bewilderment, this urgent confusion that we experience every day, is because of information. We listen to media. We listen to news that sows seeds of hopelessness. These are lies. Why do I say that? This sister and I that were talking on the phone, yes, we feel it, this urgent confusion thing going on. But we need to stop and say, so that means that God's no longer at work in this world, right? Is that what it means? Just because the news and the media don't tell us about it, does it? If they don't tell us about it, then it's not real, right? No. This hit me. We need to be aware. This world system is not going to tell you about God's work. No. Remember last week? What is the test? Jesus' kingdom now. Is Jesus building his kingdom now? Well, yeah, he is. And it hit me. He's building his kingdom now. The kingdom is not built on. Doesn't report it. No. Not at all. God's plan is not in doubt. Never has been, never will be. He's building his kingdom now. We are still on earth, right? Yes. We are called to do what? To be witnesses to Jesus Christ, to make followers of Jesus Christ. The kingdom is on. It's still on. Satan is scheming. And his schemes are lies. And those lies are effective and pervasive. That's what we see next in verse 13, right? Along with other things, let me point out something in verse 13. It says, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. When he uses the word evil day here, he is meaning this in terms of evil times. In fact, we just read about this back in 5:15. 5:15 says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Sometimes the writers will use it as an evil world. He's talking about an era, a time, an epoch marked by evil. When did that happen? From the very beginning. From the very beginning, when evil came in, the history of humanity has been this evil time. Remember, Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and this references to his domain. It's all the world around us. We walk in the air, right? We walk in this. This is where we go. But like air, Satan's domain is not a physical one. We can't see it with our eyes, but the effects happen in the physical world, all around us. He's the prince of the power of the air. Even Jesus, when he was tempted, did not deny Satan's authority in this world. So here's the deal. This urgent confusion that we sense, the voices that are increasing, becoming more shrill, have been foretold to us by God. They come from Satan. They come from his schemes. And they're pervasive. It doesn't mean that they're not stoppable, but they're pervasive. Everywhere you turn, you will see the effects of Satan's schemes in this world. And we're told not to be duped by them. So is this the conspiracy theory? Is this the conspiracy theory? Satan's at work. Well, it did not happen in private, did it? Colossians 2:15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Nothing that God has done has been hidden. From the very beginning, he has been working his plan. He's been doing it. He did it publicly. Now, the reason it may be a conspiracy is because humans choose to ignore it. Humans choose to deny it. We're told about in the book of Romans. Suppress the book, the truth. No, this has happened in the open. But we're being duped if we don't. Remember, this is the truth that is the overarching reality of all. here's the issue. If we don't do that, you know what a zombie is, right? A zombie is a walking dead. It's not a real thing. But the walking dead, all they're going for is what? Meat and blood. Meat and blood. They're not thinking. You don't think as a zombie. You just feel meat and blood. If we don't listen to the Word of God and think, we're like zombies. All we're going for is our own pleasure, meat and blood. That's a real picture. It's the walking dead. Good picture for us here. We are to stand firm. All right, let's finish this up here because no, we're coming to the end here. All right, Satan's work is to lie and deceive. He's called the prince of darkness. His kingdom is one of darkness, and he wants to blind people. Jesus Christ's work was not done in secret. In fact, we have it, and we are to make a public display of this. That's what we do during communion. We proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So why don't we hear that in news? Let's put a picture up here to end with. This is Kenosha as well. Why aren't we seeing this in the news? Why aren't we seeing this? News media. Prince of Power of the Air. It's not news. I know some of you work in news. And you got to sell. I understand that. But is not God at work in Kenosha, Wisconsin? Of course he is. Are there believers in Kenosha? Of course there are. Are they making a difference? Oh, Jesus Christ certainly is making a difference through them. And so we've got to realize Satan, his schemes are pervasive throughout the world. Expect to not hear about God's work, but don't be conformed to it, Romans 12. No, don't let it keep you from thinking the truth, which is God is. We are witness to that. In many senses, we cannot compete with CNN, Fox News, Facebook, Snapchat, and all this, but we can certainly use those means to continue to proclaim the power, to proclaim Jesus Christ, to proclaim the gospel. We stand firm on this truth. We know it. And so we can put the last picture up here. We know it. How? What do we do when we're faced with this urgent confusion? If you take one thing away from you today, take this, these two words. Stand firm. Stand firm. Satan's tired old message will come to us in new clothing every day, but it's always the same. No hope. Destruction. Sinfulness. Appealing to your flesh. But we have the Word of God. We're strong. In the power of his might, stand firm. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for our time this morning. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for being the light. And your word is the light. And we walk by this light. We are those who are of the light, not of darkness. Lord, we understand from what you've told us that Satan is out there. We are strong. We can stand firm. Cause us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your time.